by the causeless mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga, we have come to the holy land of Godramdweep, the home of Srila Thakur Bhaktivinod, today we are very fortunate. We have His Holiness Srila Jaipatak Swami Maharaj. This will be his last talk to all of us during this yatra, as directly from here he is going to Australia. So we're very, very grateful. Srila Jaipatak Maharaj is one of the very senior-most disciples of Srila Prabhupada within our society. He was sent by Srila Prabhupada to Sri Mayapur Navadweep from the very beginning. Since the very early 70s, Jaipatak Maharaj has been taking devotees from all over the world to the Nine Islands of Sri Navadweep. He is the authority within our society of Sri Gaurmandala Bhumi Dham. There is no greater gift of Srila Prabhupada to all of us than to have his association to inaugurate this yatra. And since he has to leave soon, I cannot speak too long, but I'm especially very, very grateful to you, Maharaj, for giving us this precious time. In fact, he was supposed to be in another part of the world, but he came all the way here to Sri Mayapur Dham just to give us his association for these past few days. Let us very sincerely offer our heartfelt gratitude to Srila Jaipatak Swami Maharaj.
Mukhakuroti bachadam pangurangayate giving Yatki patamahang bande si gurung dinatarinang Paramanandamadhavam si chaitanya swaram. His Divine Grace, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who has been glorified as being the seventh Goswami, who has dedicated his life to re-establishing the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a proper mood, form, purity, who was a realized soul, Anitya Siddha, who has very rich history, as you've heard from His Holiness Radhanath Swami, this is his residence. He took his residence here. In the building here, You can see his study, his desk, his bed, his kerosene fan. And he was, that must have been really high tech. In his day. In the next room, there's the bedroom of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His son. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to regularly give Bhagavatam classes here. And Bhakti and Gaurakishore Das Babaji would come and listen. Live in a little bhajan kuti over here. A little bamboo lean-to. In place of that, they built this small shrine here to commemorate his bhajan kuti. But although Bhaktivinoda Thakur was Grihastha and Gaurakishore Das Babaji was a Vairagi, extremely renounced personality, but he would come and relish the Bhagavatam classes of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and accepted him as a guru, a kind of in the temple, from the eastern door, you can have the darshan of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is Samadhi temple. So living Samadhi, everything's here. And from the southern doorway, you can see his personal deities of Gaur and Gadadhar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in a place called Birnagar. I don't know if you've ever been there. There's a place the yatra hasn't gone. It's not too far. It's about the same distance as Shantipur. A little maybe Dwadas. 12 Shiva Lingas temples were there, and it was a very wealthy family. But then somehow, when he was a child, his elders lost all their money. He went to Orissa. He became a school teacher, a headmaster in different schools there. Then he decided to join the British Administrative Service. And then he was given a posting as the first administrator of the Jagannath Puri Temple. When the government decided to have a regulatory executive officer there for the temple. He had some different postings. He learned Persian language. Of course, he knew Hindi, Sanskrit, Bengali, English, and also Urdu and Persian, because he was posted, he was given a task to do something in Persian. He was very highly educated. And he wanted to find the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. In order to pursue that, he applied for a posting in Krishnanagar, the nearby district headquarters of Nadia district. And he was posted there as a deputy or additional district magistrate. And in those days, it was both a judicial and executive role. So he would also have to hear cases and judge on them. So he would go by horse and buggy from here, the 6, well, I don't know exactly how many kilometers, 6 or 8 kilometers it is to Krishnanagar. He would always be on time, not like me. His daily schedule was also quite amazing. 10 o'clock he'd leave, he'd get to his office, do his work, he'd finish all the cases and all the work very quickly. By 1, everything would be finished, he'd come back here and take his lunch. Then he'd go again back for the afternoon if there was more work to be done, from 2 to 4. Or 3 to 5. Then sometimes he would visit Namhattas or different preaching programs in the late afternoon. Sometimes he would have to do government things like inaugurate sporting events and things. He'd come back and he'd spend a couple hours with his family, taking his meal and bath, and then he would get about 2 hours of rest in the night, 2 to 3 hours, and then midnight he'd get up, and the whole night until he would be writing these songs and books. Then chanting his japa in the morning, early morning. Very, very highly regulated, highly intense program. Read in the early morning, or if some people came to see him, then he would see those people. Again, see the children and the family just before breakfast. So he had reading time. He had then again going off to the office. He wrote, he had established the Namahatta. While he was doing all this, he also was managing a Namahatta. He gave himself a very humble role. He said, "I'm the sweeper of the marketplace of the Holy Name." Sweeper is a good position for me because I can keep the market clean from any kind of dirt. When I'm sweeping, I get the little bits and pieces of paper. I can get all the confidential information, what's going on. Now we find the modern security agencies, they want to find out something about someone, they look in their garbage. Everything is revealed there. So, his keeping the market clean means that no deviations into unbona fide practices. So he would present things in a very humble way. So he described his preaching as a Namahatta. So Sanskrit, Bengali would be Namir Hat, the market, the bazaar of the holy name. In Sanskrit become Nama Hatta. Hatta means hat or bazaar. So there he described the different roles. A Namhat leader was called a Dokandar, a shopkeeper or salesman of the holy name, kind of maybe like a counselor. Customers might be considered a counselees. Then there was a traveling salesman who would carry the goods door to door and sell them. There was a person who would check the money that it's not counterfeit. So he had over 20 different kinds of employees like that. Checking the money meant the people speaking Krishna conscious, or are they giving false philosophies? So you need different kinds of employees. The traveling salespeople or the traveling preachers, or the door-to-door preachers. Shopkeepers and Namhat leaders or counselors like that. So everyone had, they also had a barber and laundry men. So in his magazine, he had a newsletter called Godrum Kopatavi. This is a Godrum. Go means a cow and drum means a tree. So this is a place of a cow and trees. It's the island of Kirtan. And the cow especially refers to Surabhi. Here in Godrum there's a Surabhi cow who lives here. She's still here now. If you're fortunate enough, you may be able to see her. I have not yet been so fortunate in this lifetime, but Radhanath Swami may. Because Surabhi cows are transcendental, so they don't have to reveal themselves if they don't want to. This was a Surabhi cow that bathed Krishna with her milk when Indra's mount Airavat bathed Indra with Jamuna water after the Govardhan Leela. And her kunja is just about 120 meters from here. We kind of walked right by it. Would have been easy to go there, actually. Our boats got down within 30 meters of Surabhi Kunja. That's where Nityananda Prabhu had also established his Namhatta headquarters. And then Nityananda would regularly do kirtans there. There's a place there where there's a stone where Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to sit and chant his japa, looking over the kunja where the Surabhi cow is grazing. He definitely saw the Surabhi cow. Sometime when we go on the parikram, we roll there because so many great souls' dust is in that place. We want to get the dust from Nityananda Prabhu's lotus feet. So in this very, very holy place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur established his Namahatta headquarters. That was one side of his activities, that he was actively preaching. We found from his newsletter a list of about 250 groups. So considering a group might be like a counseling group, maybe like 50 people, 40 to 50 people. And 250, that we don't have all of the newsletters, so maybe many more, maybe double that, maybe 500, maybe at least 25,000 devotees were part of his Namahatta program, if not more. Because in Midnapore we came across one Namahatta. He used to call them Prapanna Ashramas. Prapanna means surrender. An ashram for learning how to surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think that's what this yatra is all about. Prapanna Yatra. Yatra for learning how to surrender at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, and this was a quite large temple there. It was very high stairways, and the temple was large, maybe 80 feet high, big veranda. So, I mean, if they built such a big temple from their group, there must have been lots of devotees. But most of the groups didn't build temples, it seems. Only we found two Prapanashrams which had two temples left over from Prapanashrams. So that was the one side. And there's so much we could say about the different, the preaching things that he wrote about. He was very much enlivened by the Harinams and by the preaching. I mean, he was a pioneer in many senses. He said that his lady devotees could also go out and preach. Just they should be chaste, they should be respectable. They should talk about Krishna. But in the 1800s, to have women preachers was also quite ahead of the times. And he said that they could use any kind of, his followers, they could use any kind of music for preaching, but the lyrics should be Krishna conscious. At that time there was a pseudo-religious movement called the Bawals, who were very popular, and they used a particular style of music to popularize their ideas. They used the instrument called the ekatara, single string. I don't know if you've ever, if there's a devotee in Mayapur called Janapriya Das, he's one of the pujaris and he has such an instrument. He has a couple of varieties. And he knows how to sing Bhava Krishna conscious songs. So if you'd like something entertaining, you could ask him to sing one song for you. It's So Bhaktivinoda Thakur would have some of his devotees compose using the meter and the lyrics of a Bhava song, Krishna conscious lyrics, and then attracted the people in that way. So like he was a very dynamic, versatile, flexible, visionary in the preaching. Probably the most important thing we usually hear about is his whole vision for Mayapur, which is of course very close to, very dear to me and to all of the Prabhupada's followers. That in his quest to find the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, which at that time nobody knew exactly where it was, he met many people, many scholars, many pundits, many historians, to try to locate. Most of them said it's lost in the Ganges. But then he had that vision from his room of a brilliant light coming from Mayapur. And that he took as a sign that that's where the birthplace is. And then that's how we heard yesterday, he took Jagannath Das Babaji there and they found the exact birthplace. We saw from the veranda here, you can see the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. There's another vision that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had, which was, he saw this temple, this illuminated, beautiful temple, the Adbhuta Mandir, the astonishing temple, that he wrote about in the Navadip Mahatmya. So that's why we all feel that we want to build the temple, but actually the temple's already there. And we just can't see it. So we're building a temple in the place where there already is a temple, so that everybody can see it. On the fourth dimension, there's a temple there, but in this three-dimensional world, it would be nice, of course, if we could just make that one visible, it would be cheaper, but then we wouldn't have any service. So Krishna is giving us an opportunity to do some seva, to build this temple, and to build a spiritual city. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that Nityananda said that after hundreds of years of flooding, an Adbhut temple, Adbhuta Mandir would manifest, and around it there would be a town of devotees. We know that eventually many of you will also come to retirement age. Some of you are already at retirement age. And And we hope that everybody doesn't think to go to Vrindavan. Of course, some of you might want to stay in Bombay just to have a nice association in Chaupati. But in case somebody's thinking about living in a holy dham the last period of their life, don't forget Mayapur. We need some nice, serious devotees to help build up a very ideal community. And Prabhupada envisioned that vanaprasthas who are devotees, who are experienced in life, would be a very powerful influence in the development of Mayapur city. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had the vision that there would be a city, a spiritual city. When I travel around the world, especially in far-flung places like South America, Chile, Peru, the television and radio interviewers, they're always enthralled by the idea of a spiritual city. It's something new. You don't hear about that. You don't. And now we're trying to make not only a spiritual city, but an ecologically favorable city. Sustainable city, which is very attractive to many people today. Spiritually sustainable and materially sustainable. Spiritually is eternal, so that's not a problem. I remember that in the Bhakti Om Vishnupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Tirubhav festival one year, Srila Prabhupada was kind enough to be present in Mayapur. And he was giving a lecture about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. At that time, he talked about the importance of pleasing the previous acharyas. Excuse me. That the previous acharyas' mercy was a secret for making advancement in Krishna consciousness. And how Prabhupada kind of went through the different acharyas. Jagannath Das Babaji found a birthplace. Bhaktivinoda Thakur went door to door begging a rupee from each person to build the first temple at the birthplace. He didn't want that one person to give all the money, so he wanted it to be spread around many people. So he would go door to door and he would beg. But he would only accept maximum donation, 1 rupee. A rupee in those days was obviously worth more than it is today. But still, a rupee is a rupee. I mean, people offered him 100 rupees. So he refused it. No, I only want 1 rupee, maximum. So like that, he got 30,000 rupees from 30,000 people. And he built the first temple there. You all went to the birthplace, but you probably didn't notice that first temple because of our failing to show it to you. It's not your fault, but next to the big temple, there's a building which was the first temple. It's kind of between the big temple and the neem tree to the north. West, there's a building, quite medium-sized building, and that building was the first temple. So Prabhupada was explaining how, you know, going 30,000 houses, that's, I mean, you've done house programs, but 30,000 houses? That's quite a committed effort. You want many people to participate. And following in that footstep, maybe we're doing a little bit this idea that letting many people participate in the celebration of the Panchatattva's appearance, allowing many people the opportunity to contribute something and being part of that deity installation and the ceremony of the installation. And we're very grateful to hear that many, a group of representative devotees from Gopinath Mandir will be coming, and different temples will be coming for the installation ceremony and helping. And I don't know, that was worked out last night between Maharaj and Bhakti Purushottam Swami, exactly what they're going to be helping with, but I know they're going to be helping with something. So it's a very, very moving how, well, working as a family. So Prabhupada was highlighting that Bhaktivinoda Thakur did this service for the Dham. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he built a big temple, developed the different places here in the Dham. And Prabhupada said, in my humble way, I'm also trying to do something to develop Mayapur. And then he said that he's very grateful for anyone who's helping him, for all the devotees who are helping him to develop Mayapur Dham. And then he broke down and started to cry. He choked up. Tears are just pouring. Couldn't speak anymore. We were all sitting there looking kind of at each other, looking at Prabhupada. It was, wow. What to do? This is very intense. This is something very important to Srila Prabhupada. And then, after some time, then Prabhupada, with a choked voice, he said, you know, chant Hare Krishna. We could understand that this was not a small thing for Srila Prabhupada. To please the previous acharyas was really I don't even know how. What's the way? Very, most, super, inconceivable. It was so important to Srila Prabhupada that it was his very life and soul. He said many times that carrying out the order of the spiritual master was his guiding principle, and how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary in the Bhagavad Gita, that one should, in Bhaktivinoda's explanation of that, and how the order of the spiritual master should be taken like one's very, more dear than one's own life. I know when we were building, some of the buildings we were building there, it was very intense. We were working from 6 in the morning till midnight. I went to see Srila Prabhupada and asked if I could get some free time for reading his books. And then Prabhupada, with a very strong voice, he said, "You think building my buildings is not spiritual? You think building my buildings is different than reading my books?" So anyway, we were working. So I remember one time I was feeling it very intense because we had to go by jeep to get some materials from Krishnanagar, and somehow or another just finishing the japa. And I was thinking it was really intense dealing with all these people who try to cheat us. And I just remembered suddenly Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Prabhupada and how they all wanted that Mayapur should be developed. And suddenly everything became easy and light again. If they can smile on us, then everything becomes very easy in Krishna consciousness. So we're very eager to get that smile. And this Panchatattva installation is a new chapter in the development of Mayapur, the chapter which is opening the door for the main temple construction. One other very interesting point is like Bhaktivinoda Thakur as a grihastha. He thought at one point that he should take sannyas. And he went to Jagannath Das Babaji and asked for permission to take sannyas. And Jagannath Das Babaji said, "You're more than a sannyasi already. Your whole life is completely dedicated to Krishna. So you don't have to take sannyas." So he didn't get permission to take sannyas, or Babaji or anything. But at the very end of his life, he had a dream where Krishna revealed to him that if you go to Jagannath Puri and near to the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur, if you chant, then by your chanting and worshipping of me, Krishna consciousness will spread all over the Western world. Will spread all over the world, including the Western world. And that's recorded. He wrote about this in some publication. So even when he was doing his, in his very old age, he was doing what you could consider nirjana bhajan, chanting there. And the place where he was chanting, that house is called Bhakti Kutir. We got that land from the administration general. The house had collapsed. In the ruins, the Darwan, what do you call the caretaker, he had built his own little adobe house, and he was refusing to leave because he was caretaker for so many yugas and nobody had paid him, according to him, a proper amount. So we had the land and we had to, everything was broken except for the nameplate that said Bhakti Kutir. So we had to give money to get the caretaker to stop taking care. So we will take care now. And now they're ready in the next year to install the deities there, and the building's almost completed. They're going to make a... They have a guest house there for devotees. They can come and chant and remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But I thought it was very interesting how much Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in the mood of Goshti Ananda. You know, Goshti Ananda wanted to expand the Goshti of devotees, the assembly of devotees, make more devotees. I'm sure he's very happy that so many of you have come here, that you're practicing Krishna consciousness sincerely, and you come here to this holy place, and yet it's a good place to pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur to get his blessings and empowerment to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya when you get back to your home places. Now you have no more excuse to make that I'm a student, I'm a grihastha, it's not my time for preaching, sannyasis will preach. He was a grihastha, he was an employee working for the government, but he always found time to preach. So with his busy schedule, if he could find time to preach and write, can be inspiration for all of us. Grihe tako bone tako sada hadi bole dako. Whether you're a grihasta or whether you're in a renounced order, everybody should chant the holy names of the Lord, spread the message of Lord, the Saharinam Sankirtan. Every one of the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives you a little window into his deep humility, his deep realization, his deep practical understanding of Maya and the world and how illusion is holding us back and how we have to surrender to Krishna and let Krishna carry us across this illusion. His songs are so beautiful. So I'm sure Radhanath Swami will be sharing with you many of those nectarian songs. So you can go deeper and deeper into the mood. Those are a few of the things that have come to mind to share with you. Let's take this opportunity to thank you all for allowing me to be with you on the yatra for these 3 days. Usually at this time I'm in Malaysia for Rath Yatras. This year when I heard the yatra was coming to Mayapur, which I missed a few times in the past, I told them in Malaysia that you finish up the Rath Yatras early because I won't be there after the 21st. I'm going to go and join Yatra with Radhanath Swami. Because they're going to visit Mayapur, and at least I want, they're coming to my home, I have to, as a host, as a servant of the Dham, as one of the humble caretakers, I should welcome them. So I want to really welcome you all for coming here to Navadvip Mayapur Dham. Rajanath Prabhu and other local devotees will be very happy to guide you from here on. I'm very grateful that you come here to Mayapur Dham. It's your home. Prabhupada made it, Radharani made it for all of you to visit here and get your spiritual batteries charged. I look forward to having more of your association sometime if Radha Gopinath smile on me. Please forgive me if I made any offenses and if there's any hardship caused by our inability to do anything you need. I appreciate your nice organization of things, your FM radio and your loudspeakers. Very inspiring. I think the red cap guys could get more organized. But they're pretty good. Maybe in the future they'll have horses, you know. But wonderful association. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Accept my obeisances. Pancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhu vyebhyascha
Before Maharaj leaves, let's give him a Radha Gopinath welcome, and again, please come back to our association. Jai Pataka Maharaj Ki! Jai Pataka Maharaj Ki! Jai Pataka Maharaj Ki!